Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who gives edible undies as gifts just because they taste good, Pete Schwabba.
No, I wear them because they're comfortable. They breathe. They're just a solid wear. Hey, Wisconsin, welcome to Nightlight. This is the night before a holiday that is supposed to bring us together. A major holiday, the 4th of July, of course, is what I'm talking about. Green Bay is off the hook tonight. Am I right, Conrad?
Yeah. Off the hook because we got fireworks.
Yeah. People are losing their minds. It's very crowded in downtown Green Bay tonight, but it is a gorgeous night. I hope it is beautiful wherever you are in Wisconsin tonight and that you are going to party safely tonight and tomorrow, all weekend really, because this is a big party weekend. It's going to be a big weekend for me to relax. We have a best of show tomorrow night, and then we have a new show on Friday, but it's all, we will not be here live. It will be all pre-recorded content, but new to our listeners and timely too. We talk about some really cool things we have scheduled for Friday, so that will be fun as well. Terry Barr will still be here on Friday bringing us new music. And wow, this band she is going to share with us, I've been listening to them. They are great. It's Tuck Smith and the Restless Hearts. And we'll let Terry talk more about it on Friday, but a great band, and you guys will not be disappointed. Tonight we've got a really fun show too. Jimmy Cuska does great work as a sports reporter here at Civic Media. He is the sports director and really knows his stuff. The guy is like an encyclopedia of sports knowledge, whether it's pro, college, even especially high school, he knows. And he's you know, called high school games from an announcing standpoint. He's just really tied into all things sports. However, tonight, my dear friend Jimmy is going to talk to us about a show he's very passionate about, and that I think I need to get more passionate about, called The Boys. I've only seen almost three episodes of it. Jimmy's in season four, and it gets really good marks, very critically acclaimed show. My son has been after me to watch it forever. He sat with me so I would watch two episodes recently, and it's very good. At first, I wrote it off because it was a superhero show, but it's all parody and satire, and they do a really good job with it. As well as they have great characters. It's just a really well-done show. So, and I love Jack Quaid. He is a great kind of leading man, the central or access character, I guess you would say. The show pulls a 93 on Rotten Tomatoes. Critics love it. Audiences really like it. Only a 75% score from audiences. But to me, that's a good show. Because you're not going to make everybody happy all the time. But we will talk about The Boys with Jimmy at 7:35. And we'll do some sports stuff, too. There was an escalator incident that Conrad and I touched on last night at Brewer Stadium. County Stadium, City Field, State Ballpark.
State Ballpark. I like that one.
American Family Field, also known as American Family Field. Still of County Stadium, though. So Jimmy will join us at 7:30, and we'll talk about a lot of different things. That's a great way to go into the holiday with a Jimmy Cuska interview. And then at 8:35 tonight, we have a treasure here in Northeast Wisconsin. And it's in Door County, and it's right along the bay in Fish Creek in Peninsula State Park called Peninsula Players. They're an outdoor summer theater. They do great work. I went to two shows last year myself. I took my daughter to one, and then the whole family went to one. Just a beautiful spot right on Green Bay. And it's just this picturesque, majestic little spot that Peninsula Players have there. They also do great work. They draw actors from all over, including here in Wisconsin. And they just put on great shows. It is a wonderful way to spend a summer night. You could take a picnic basket over there. They have tables outside. You bring wine and snacks and cheese, whatever you want. Go in and see the show. It's weather friendly. If the weather does get bad, you can they close the sides. So you still have that outdoor feel. Get some fresh air in there, but you're protected from the elements as well. Just a really fun time. Linda will join us at 8:35 to talk about what they have coming up this summer. And all right, so last night, too, we talked about, it was based on this article I saw. Our question last night was, who is the greatest actor of all time? Because Eddie Murphy said when he met Marlon Brando for the first time, he was kind of shocked at how Brando, at some of the things Brando said, downplaying his own ability as an actor. And Eddie said, well, this is like my favorite actor ever growing up. He watched The Godfather and all this, all these great movies Brando had done. So our question last night was, who is the greatest actor of all time? Tonight, we're going to say, who is the greatest actress of all time? And because some people shared actresses last night, which they were welcome to do, that's fine. You can share an actor tonight, too, if you missed out on last night. So, but the basic question is, who is the greatest actress of all time? And I'll start. There's so many. There's the obvious ones. Meryl Streep, you know, it would be an obvious choice. I'm going to say Kathy Bates. Kathy Bates is so real in everything I see her in. Loved her in Misery. She played creepy. She was great in Fried Green Tomatoes. I was actually in a film with her. We didn't have a scene together called Relative Strangers, where she played kind of this hayseed mother-in-law-to-be. And she is so well-rounded and such a phenomenal actress. I'm going to put her, I'm going to start things off tonight and say Kathy Bates. And if you want to try to change my mind, that's totally fine. That's what we do here. Please share and let's compare. So let us know, who is the greatest actress of all time? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Conrad, how can people share their thoughts on the stream and how can they watch the stream?
Yeah, so on Facebook, we're under WGBW or Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. On YouTube, we're under Civic Media, and on Twitter or X, whatever you call it, WGBW.
Fair enough. If you feel like giving us a like or a follow on any of those mediums or platforms, we would be very grateful. But either way, it's great to have you with us here on this pre-4th of July show, our last totally live show of the week. Great to be with you. Tom Cruise turns 62 today. Here's a guy really making his way up the ranks in Hollywood. He's a real up-and-comer. And he's really starting to make a name for himself. So, in my opinion, maybe the greatest movie star of all time. When you take box office, good reviews, acting ability, put them all together, it's very hard to argue against his track record as a movie star. Not saying he's the greatest actor. Last night I said Paul Newman, by the way. And your dad did too, I think, Conrad.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. But Tom Cruise is a very solid actor, very good actor, but I think he might be the greatest movie star of all time if you look at his body of work and everything he's done. And he is not showing any signs of stopping. At 60, his early 60s, he still does his own stunts. That's incredible. So he is 62 today. We have some Tom Cruise clips we will share later in the show from some of his best movies, including an iconic scene from A Few Good Men. I have a scene from All the Right Moves, maybe a forgotten Tom Cruise film. Maybe you hadn't thought about that in a while, but a very solid film when he was much younger. I think he did that. I think it was his follow-up to Risky Business. And then One to Be Determined. Olivia Munn turns 43 today. Conrad, do you have an opinion on Olivia Munn? She broke your idol's heart, right?
Idol's a little stretch. good for her.
If he was still a Packer, would you take his side?
I mean, with the stuff he's doing right now, it's a little out there. But you gotta, you know, it's our quarterback. Now that he's not my quarterback.
You don't care. Break his heart, smash it into a million pieces.
I'm all into Jordan Love.
How do you mean that? I'm kidding. He's getting married. Take him out. He's out of contention. Olivia Munn, 43. And Kathy Bates had a birthday this week, too. My vote for greatest all-time actress. She is 76, turns 76 this week. A lot of big releases this week, as you would expect, since it's 4th of July week. We got Hamilton, came out in 2020. Independence Day came out in 1996. And I have to admit, when I saw Independence Day, I got sucked in. America was not polarized yet. I mean, there's always been some degree of polarization in our country, but it was, people mostly liked each other back then. And I remember seeing the film and cheering on Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum, and even, God forbid, Randy Quaid is they took out all the aliens. I wasn't cheering, but I enjoyed it. It was a fun watch. I saw part of this last year and it was hard to sit through. Some of the lines are so bad. And Judd Hirsch and just some of it is just so corny. I don't think it really holds up. But I'm sure people will watch it. Terminator 2 Judgment Day came out this week in 1991. Loved it. Loved the first Terminator and didn't know if they could follow it. I thought, sequel, whatever. They're just cashing in. Terminator 2 was great. In fact, we had a guest on. I think Mike Schmidt was here last week and said he likes it much better than the first one. And it's probably overall, from a production value standpoint, a much better movie. But it's got a great plot. It's just it's a great movie. Back to the Future, 1985, on this day. Or yesterday, maybe. And then Boys in the Hood, too, in 1991. We talked a little bit about Boys in the Hood yesterday. We have a couple Boys in the Hood clips we'll get to shortly as well. So, lots of fun stuff on the show tonight. God, you hear that, Connor? My voice, I just kind of went through puberty there, briefly.
What do you think about this?
About time. Yeah.
Nicole Kidman. That is my favorite actress.
Not Kate McKinnon?
She's not in enough stuff. It just SNL skits and Barbie.
Yeah, I'm kind of... I'm not a huge fan of Nicole Kidman, and it's not that she's not good. I just find her, I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
I don't know. I just, in a lot of movies, I just see her, you know, like she's got to be casted for a reason.
You know, my favorite actress is Olivia Munn.
I thought you were going to say Sydney Sweeney.
Sydney's up there. Top three.
Well, that's your girlfriend. So.
If she'll be on the show, we're just taking it slow. We're not, it's not, you know. She's still married. I'm still married. We're just sort of dipping our toe in the water. We'll figure it out, though. So, who is the greatest actress of all time? That is tonight's Nightlight question of the night. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Or you can text us on the app. It's so easy. Or on the stream. Get a hold of us one way or the other and share your thoughts throughout the show. So much more fun when we all do this together. Coming up next, we're going to play two amazing clips from one of my favorite films from the 90s, Boys in the Hood, and I'll read your text. That's next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. So this is a pretty cool thing. Last night, Earl Ingram Jr. was on Nightlight. He was a guest of ours, and he is the host of the Earl Ingram Show every morning in Civic Media from 8 to 10. Great host, great voice, and, you know, just a staple and is he a legend, Conrad? We call Earl a legend? I would say he's nearing legend status.
I would say.
I would say he's a legend. I thought he's been doing this for 40 years. And then he told me he was in the automotive industry and started pestering hosts. And that's how we got into radio. I love that. Anyway, soon to be legend, Earl, if not already a legend, was on the show last night. He was a really fun guest. We talked about his love of noir movies and kind of how he came up through the ranks, a little bit about Milwaukee, his beloved hometown. And he told us last night on the show that he was going to interview President Biden and they were going to air it on July 4th. Was it 9 a.m.? I think they're airing it tomorrow morning.
8 a.m., I believe.
Okay. Well, just listen to the whole show. Cover all your bases. But Earl said, I mean, this is a cool thing. I think they reached out to him, the White House. We have a little clip from, is this from CNN?
No, this is from the White House.
Oh, this is from the White House.
Yes.
Okay. I've heard of their work. Let's play this clip that involves our friend Earl Ingram.
Today, President Biden taped two black radio interviews that will air tomorrow morning. One is with Earl Ingram on Civic Media Network, which airs across Wisconsin.
That's kind of cool.
Shout out.
Earl getting a mention from the White House. It was kind of weird how she said we reached out to two black radio shows. Like, just a pitch. I mean, Earl, it just has a great show. And I get it. They wanted a black host, but... I don't know. I thought she worded that kind of strange. And then she didn't say the Civic Media Radio Network. She just said Civic Media. Like, you have to use articles, right?
Yeah.
Are you anti-articles, Conrad? Anti-pronouns?
I'm anti, yeah.
Very
anti.
Excited for Earl. That's a great honor and very cool, and I cannot wait to hear that interview. I'm sure he's going to do a great job, as he does every day. And it was fun to have him on the show. And next time he comes on, we're going to talk about Milwaukee, and we're going to do a little more movie talk. That'll be fun. So I got to talk quickly about this, the Hawk-Tua girl. What on earth is the matter with this country? This girl, first of all, you know, she's pretty. That probably had something to do with it. And she basically said what she does with her boyfriend during foreplay and made this kind of gross, you got a Hawk-Tua. And she said, and spit on that thing. I mean, where? What's the hawk part? That's disgusting. That's like, a loogie? Awfully silent on the other side of the glass there, buddy. I don't get it. And now she's got representation. She signed with an agency because she made a lewd sound and motion. She basically did a head fake, and that went viral.
I just don't get how these people just get famous. It just makes no sense.
And now there will be people around her because they can make money off her. But yeah. Does she have any talent other than the hawking and the tooing?
I mean, she's made merch.
What does that merch look like? Is it stuff you can wear in public?
It says Hawk-Tua on it.
I mean, have we no decency? I'm not a prude, but come on. This is catapulting her to fame? I mean, it's like fame. It's kind of one note. Just that? That's 15 minutes. Or she'll go on to have a meaningful career in the adult film industry. It's crazy. And she said, she did that thing too where she said, God is good, basically. She said something like, isn't God great? My life has changed. Isn't God great? Like, it's the equivalent of a guy scoring a touchdown and gyrating his hips and shaking his willy at the crowd. And he makes a sign of the cross. Like, what? I don't get it. Okay. I don't think, just my own personal opinion, I don't think God cares about football.
I don't think God cares. Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I'm positive. And I know he loves wrestling, pro wrestling. Get Rich LoCascio on the line. And I hope he doesn't care about what some girl says at a tractor puller, wherever she was. Bizarre. And the agency's sitting there. We got to sign that girl. She did something lewd. Sign her up.
I can't believe that Zach Bryan brought her on stage.
What was that too, right?
And she just screamed into the mic in a crowd full of people saying Hawk-Tua.
Like, it's like a Simpsons episode. It's the kind of thing they would make fun of.
I'm surprised they didn't predict it.
They probably did one way or the other, but they probably don't want to go that risque. I don't know. Just had to get that off my chest. All right, let's read some texts here. Sherry from Horicon says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Hi, Sherry. Great to have you with us tonight. Back in the stream, Sherry is. So it's good to have Sherry back. Shirley MacLaine again. Actor she said yesterday, too, was Anthony Hopkins. You'd certainly have a lot of people backing you there, Sherry. No question about that. Sherry has not changed her mind from last night. And then let's go to the stream here. We've got, Betty White. Great one from the 773. Love Betty White. And 773 says, Betty White, hands down. Okay. I don't think you could really argue with it. She is mostly comedy, too, but I feel like comedians, it's hard to do comedy, and they are oftentimes left off or left out of the discussion when you're talking about acting, but it's hard to do comedy and do it right. From the 920, John Wayne with a question mark texting on the WGBW line. Is that a joke about him being effeminate, or is that John Wayne, you mean like as an actor? Because the question mark's throwing me. Otherwise, I would just think you mean John Wayne is the best actor of all time. And you probably wouldn't be alone if you thought that. Carla from Bear, Aunt Carla, Conrad checking in. Mae West would be my favorite actress. Mae West. That's a good one. Beverly D'Angelo from the 920. I like that. I was not expecting to see a Beverly D'Angelo. She's great. I love her. She's outstanding. Jim from Appleton says, whatever happened to the Take Me Outside girl? Have a great fourth. Thanks. You too, Jim. What's the Take Me Outside girl? Do we know that?
Yes. Her name is Bad Barbie, I think. Something like that.
Bad Barbie. Okay.
She was on Dr. Phil. And now she's a millionaire.
She is?
Yeah, she made a lot of money.
Because she made an off-color joke or something?
Well, I forget what she was on Dr. Phil for, but she said, catch me outside. How about that?
Nonsense. What does that mean?
She wants to fight outside.
Okay.
She wants to fight Dr. Phil.
Oh, she said that to Dr. Phil?
Yeah.
Oh, I hope she got him in a headlock and wailed on him. All right, I like her. From the 920, you were talking about male actors earlier. Oh, okay, he's clarifying. Yes, I was. I was saying the question is the greatest actress of all time, but you can certainly share John Wayne. So the question mark just threw me, 920, but that's a great answer, yeah. That's great. The 920, oh, Jim from Appleton again says, how about Cybill Shepherd? How about Cybill Shepherd in the Last Picture Show? Outstanding, great on Moonlighting. Can't argue with Cybill Shepherd. So one of my favorite actors, too, is Lawrence Fishburne from Boys in the Hood. And we did not get to those clips, but we will do that in the 8 o'clock hour from Boys in the Hood. And we'll play some. What else do we have, Connor? We got Tom Cruise clips. We got all kinds of fun stuff coming up. And coming up next, Civic Media sports director, Jimmy Cuska. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who hates shaking hands, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. So tonight's question is, who is the greatest actress of all time? I say Kathy Bates. We've heard Cybill Shepherd. We've heard Betty White, Mae West, Shirley MacLaine. The list goes on and on. Feel free to share. Love to hear from you guys throughout the course of the show. Okay, so at 8:35, Linda Fortunato will be here to discuss the upcoming season, or the season that just started, actually, for Peninsula Players over in Door County in beautiful Peninsula State Park. Gorgeous place right on the water. Check it out if you haven't already. It'll be fun to talk to Linda. But right now, I'm excited to welcome my next guest. He's become sort of a Nightlight frequent flyer. He's always fun to talk to, whether it's about sport, regardless of topic. But I found out recently he was a big fan of the show The Boys, so we had to have him on because I need to learn more about the show. So it is my pleasure to welcome Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cuska. Hey, Jimmy.
How's it going, Pete? I'm happy to talk anytime. I know we talk sports a lot, but it's fun to talk about TV. I tell you what, this is the time of year when there aren't a whole lot of high school sports or college sports happening. So this is when I binge watch everything I've been holding up for a year.
Oh, nice.
I've made it through like five or six shows. I'm halfway through my backlog. So
I love it.
This is one that's in progress. So I'm happy to talk about anything, any show that that I've been watching. It's all fresh in my mind right now.
Well, that's great. And let's start with The Boys, because honestly, for 2 years, my son has been saying, Dad, I'm telling you, you have to see the show. So I watched like an episode and a half about a year ago, the pilot, and then a half of an episode or so. And I liked it. I'm still trying to suspend the superhero aspect of it, but the writing is great. The characters are great. I watched another episode and a half in the last couple days knowing we were going to talk. So I'm about three episodes into the entire dealio, and you're on the current season, correct?
Yep. Yeah. With the next episode coming out tomorrow. So we're in season four, well, four and a half, I guess three and a half technically, but yeah, we're five episodes deep in season four right now. So
tell us why it's so great, Jim. Why do you like it? Why are you sticking with it? What do you love about it?
You know, it's a lot like another Amazon Prime show, Invincible, which is kind of a counter commentary to, you know, the superhero movies, you know, that have really dominated the box office for the last decade plus, right? Where in the MCU, all the random projects DC's got with their comics and everything. We've had a lot of superhero movies come out, right? In the last 10 or 15 years. And so this is kind of a counter to that, right? It's kind of counter programming to it. They're superheroes, but they're extremely flawed. And one of the things that I appreciate about The Boys is that, and it actually explicitly, it was subtle for the first few seasons, and they came out and finally said it this year, superheroes aren't meant to be worshipped. They're meant to rule or whatever. So that's like the whole idea behind the show is that these are superheroes, but they're not good people. and the show centers around a group of people who are basically trying to eliminate them, even though they have no powers of their own. So I appreciate that there's something out there for people who want to watch the counter to what's popular, which is the appeal of it to me. And I think that's the appeal of it to a lot of people who follow the show.
You know, it's funny. The first episode, they just go there right away. The guy's holding his girlfriend's hands and she's standing in the street.
And still holding her hands afterwards.
And still holding her hands after she basically disintegrates or is annihilated. But I love Jack Quaid as the Access character. And he is so good. And he's Dennis Quaid's son, I believe, and Meg Ryan, maybe. But he's great. Anthony Starr, one of the leads of the series, plays, Homelander, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and he looks like Brad Cooper with kind of a bad makeup job. It's very interesting. But
I'll tell you, in that entire show, of all the actors and actresses in that show, he's on a whole other level with the current season. I wouldn't be surprised to see him get awards at some stage for it, because he is carrying the show as of late. And it's really? Anthony Starr is, you know, in real life too, when you see him in interviews, he's kind of a happy-go-lucky dude. But in the show, it's rare, because I'm desensitized to, you know, because I watch like Archer, and I watch all these adult adult focused cartoon shows and stuff. So there's not a lot I haven't seen that makes me feel tension in a TV show, right? But there's tension, you know, and he does such a good job of playing this character, and I think that's something that this show really needed, because, you know, the plot becomes a bit predictable. It's a group of people trying and usually failing to take down superheroes. But then you've got the big bad who, you know, is the big bad, and he keeps finding new ways to be worse as the show progresses.
It's so great, because I love that it's for adults. They just go there. There's like sex, there's swearing, there's violence, and it's. To me, that's what kind of sort of sterilizes superhero movies at the box office. You don't see, maybe in Batman, you see kind of the grittier side at times, but mostly they're just kind of these, you know, fluffy films. But this show is gritty. It's like, and they're not afraid to, like I said, it's for adults, you know?
Yeah, it's gratuitous. I mean, when you look at the writers too, Seth Rogen's one of the writers for the show, one of the executive producers. So you're getting, you know, it's over the top, and it's meant to be over the top, because, you know, why not? Why?
Right.
There's no limit to it. So they can do whatever they want, which is, I think that also is what is attracting people to the show and why it's got such a good following.
And it's like, it's got this great cast. I mean, talk about, this is one of those shows where if you're on it, like, and I'm just using this isn't necessarily a very accurate barometer, but the star meter on IMDb Pro of all these people, the actors like Carl Urban, 26, Jack Quaid, 60, Anthony Starr, 11, Aaron Moriarty, 3. They're all huge stars now. Do you have a favorite character, Jim?
Yeah. You know, and in addition to all those stars, by the way, that you mentioned, there are a number of, you know, very well-known actors and actresses who make cameos in the show as minor characters. For example, in the current season, they're filming a movie with one of the characters, and Will Ferrell plays a track coach in a couple of episodes. So you get some pretty well-known people in some pretty unusual spots in the show. I'm watching through the show to where I'm at right now. I know that there's a lot of political commentary in the show and everything like that. But to me, if the show doesn't succeed, if you don't have a true villain, somebody working against, so Anthony Starr is, I think, delivering just an amazing performance in the lead villain role. It's hard for me to pick against that. Although, as you mentioned, The number of, you know, with Carl Urban and Jack Wade and those, they're all doing a great job too. It's just when you look at the show as a whole, and you see what they're working against, I think it's really hard to go away from the guy who's really carrying this season, who's really been, consistently good since the show began.
I've heard too, like that the fourth season is political and overtly, and that they kind of rushed it to get it out there before the election. So, that's interesting, but it is great satire. You mentioned other shows, Jim. You talked about Invincible, Archer. Now, I'm glad too, because I don't watch, I haven't seen any of those. So for the listeners that are into those shows, please tell me why they should watch them and what's so great about them.
You know, I think in addition to just solid writing, I think you've got, Invincible's got that, again, that counter commentary to the superhero narratives that you see. It's a show that, again, it's over the top. It's another adult Amazon Prime show meant for adults. So it's in that same vein. So that along with The Boys, that's a pretty good pairing. Archer is a show that's been on FX. It's 12 seasons in right now. That's just a show that's well written. I think for a lot of people, there's a lot of comparisons to some of those shows that are kind of in the same vein. It's a step, kind of a step further than a show like Futurama, for example, again, with really brilliant writers for cartoons that are intended for adults, stuff that you see on Adult Swim, things like that. It's just really well done. It's pleasant to look at. The animation style is very appealing to watch. I've been obviously keeping up on the Disney Plus shows that come out as well, especially when it comes to the Star Wars genre, because, well, you know, I'm a nerd, so you see all the sports stuff right here. What you don't see is the wall that's got, you know, the Pokemon and the Star Wars and Star Trek.
Pokemon, so, I love it.
Yeah, we got a little bit of everything in this house. But the Star Wars shows can be hit or miss. I really like shows like Andor, which are more story and narrative driven rather than universe driven. So like the current show, The Acolyte, is more universe driven. It's not really well received, but it's one of those, it's one of the Disney shows that I think, that they've rolled out since they acquired the rights, the IP for Star Wars. And they're just trying to fill in gaps in like this main timeline of Star Wars, right? There's this massive timeline in this fictional universe, and they keep just finding these shows that kind of fill in these gaps here and there. And it's been hit or miss. They've also done work, obviously, with we were talking about superheroes, a lot of the Marvel shows that have come out too. And I actually have found those to actually be pretty well done. The one thing I don't like about a lot of the Disney shows that they do is that when they film things that are in the dark or at night, it is really hard to watch. And this has been like a production style type of thing that I've really noticed in the last probably 5 years, is that when they're in a dark place, it is impossible to see on a TV. Even with the lights off and the brightness cranked, you can't see anything. I get it. It's the production direction, but I mean, this is really going in the weeds on that, but man, it is hard to watch shows like Moon Knight and have a whole episode where you basically can't see what's happening. You're just reading subtitles. So,
you know, it's funny you say that, because my guest, by the way, is Jimmy Cusca. He is the sports director here at Civic Media, but we are not talking sports just yet. I'll have a couple sports questions for Jim before we let him go, but we're talking about TV shows and Star Wars and action heroes. I got to tell you, my son played a clip from The Acolyte, and it was where we meet the first Sith Lord for the first time. I think it was kind of in a forest setting. I thought it looked beautiful, and the fight scenes were great. And I'll probably give that show a watch. I saw some Mandalorian. I saw one of the previous shows that was on, but I thought it looked really cool in a small sample size.
You know, and that's one thing, is that when you can see what's happening on the screen, it does look great. I think one thing that having kind of Disney own all these IPs is that when they make, these MCUs and these Star Wars and these different movies and things like that, even the bringing back some of the classic, their original characters, like the original Disney characters, and they do these movies, they don't spare anything when it comes to just animating the heck out of all the things that they're doing or filming everything. They do all the special effects budgets got to be through the roof, because there are a lot of shows that they have no right being done as well as they are sometimes, but you see a show like Bad Batch, right, which is another Star Wars show, but it's animated. It is extremely well done for animation. And that's what you get when you have a major studio and a major owner, I guess. But yes, you're right. They are the things that you can see them, when they're not filming in the dark,
right?
But you can see them. Things are done extremely well.
And that's what made me think of it when you said it. But I thought this was kind of a dark setting, but it was just beautifully lit, so to speak, and shot. This is so. What else are you watching, Jim? Right now, do you have a show you just started or you're into?
You know, I just, like I said, I was midstream on The Boys for this season, kind of waiting out some of the stuff that comes out later this year. You know, they kind of drip feed you some of this stuff that's coming out. Oddly enough, because it's the summer, I don't go to a lot of movies, but like this summer, you know, all these kids movies are coming out. So
I was going to ask Inside you about Out that 2, too. Yeah,
Inside Out 2. Hey, that's in the books.
That is one of my favorite movies of all time. Inside Out 2 was just a masterpiece, I thought. I love that they made anxiety a character, and it was just very sweet at times. I loved that movie.
You know, it was great. It held the kids' attention. That's a win as a parent, when the kids can hold it. And you know, as a parent, when you get to see, you know, get to see the, like you mentioned, anxiety or even nostalgia or whatever, you get to see these little things and it ties together very nicely at the end. I think that it did a great job, much like the first Inside Out movie did. Obviously, now Despicable Me 4 is out, which just came out today.
Yeah.
So that's going to be something I see before the end of the weekend, I'm sure. 4th of July kind of takes all that away because we got a lot of other things we're doing. But, you know, it's nice to have a summer where there are multiple kids movies we can go watch because, you know, we went through a stretch there for, you know, the last couple of years where we would go months without a good kids movie in the theater.
So. You have to recycle all the old ones. But Despicable Me 4, only a 53% on Rotten Tomatoes, but that, you know, they have so much street cred, so to speak, with audiences and that franchise. I think it'll be just fine. Jimmy Cuska is my guest. We'll have a few more minutes with Jim after this short break. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. We're talking with Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cuska. We're talking movies, though. Kids' movies. And we just wrapped up a short talk about The Boys. I have a clip here, Jim. Maybe you could tell us what's going on here. It's a short clip from season 4, I think episode 1. So let's hear that, and then we'll discuss. Go ahead, Conrad.
Listen, Ryan, I've got a lot to say. A fuck all time to say it. I've got a lorry out back. I can get you out of here.
What are you talking about?
I know you're angry with me, and you've got every right to be. But you know how dangerous Homelander is.
He's my dad.
Right, he murdered some poor sod right in front of your eyes.
That guy was a pedophile.
Right, it ain't true. He's lying to you. Let me take you to Grace, all right? And then you don't got to see me no more. Please, I'm begging you. It's what your mum would want.
No means no, William. This isn't the Neverland Ranch. Don't worry. Nothing bad's gonna happen, right? Oh. It seems it already has. Look at that big black mass curdling around your brain. What do you got, 6 months?
Less?
It's too bad. We're not gonna have that last dance together. I'll miss us.
Bloody hell. You wait to your own voice, don't you?
That's a spirit, champ. Son. Come on. I do not want to miss Smash Mouth.
That's great. And he's such a good bad guy. You're right. He's so just jerky. It has that punchable face, you know?
Oh my goodness. Well, hopefully you caught the beginning of that over the air. That's a show where you said you're going to play a clip from it. I'm just sitting here like, boy, you're playing a little bit of fire. There.
No swears. Yeah. We just found that
right
before
at the beginning.
Show.
You got one right at the beginning, but, no, it's
Conrad?
All good.
I don't believe so.
I think we caught. Did we miss something, Jim? Oh no.
Yeah. It's all right. It's all good. We were talking. It's after 6 o'clock, right?
It could have been a British, like a British word or accent that we missed. Okay.
So, what's happening in season 4 is Carl Urban plays one of the protagonists, and again, much like the superheroes in the show, the protagonists are all extremely flawed people, and so the character that Carl Urban plays. Actually, there's a serum in the show that lets you acquire temporarily superpowers, but at the cost of, if you use it more than a few times, makes you terminally ill, which is what he was referring to.
Okay.
So he's got a few months left in his life to try to take down the big bad Homelander. But in all this craziness in the background, Homelander has a son who he had with Carl Urban's character's wife, who is an employee at where Homelander is. So you're tying all this together. And so now Carl Urban's character is trying to rescue his now former wife, his dead wife's son from Homelander.
That's so great.
That's the storyline, and that's what's happening there. And Smash Mouth at the end, by the way, they're just playing because the superheroes in this universe and the boys are actually they are the celebrities of the world. So yeah, they get Smash Mouth and they get all these TV deals and stuff. So that's what's happening at the end there with the Smash Mouth.
No, and I love it, and it's like an agency, and they. You know, sort of pip these guys out, you know, to make appearances, and it's all big business, and it's just great satire. And all right. So Jim, I wanted to ask you, have a fear I did not know about: escalators.
Oh no.
What yes. The heck? And what happened at County Stadium? Did it kind of flew under the radar, this story?
You know, it's funny because it was briefly there. There were a number of people that were hurt. I think if any, you know, I think if anybody had died, maybe people talk about it more, but
yeah.
I have a fear of escalators. So where I grew up, there aren't any. You don't find escalators in Northwestern Wisconsin very often. Right. But I always have that nightmare that like my shoe's going to get stuck and I'm going to get pulled through the conveyor.
Yeah.
I know it doesn't work this way. I'm 39 years old, but when I come down to Milwaukee every year for the education convention, I'm at the Baird Center going up the escalators. There's me just sweating bullets, just starting
wow.
Like I got to get off this thing because it is like probably top three fear for me.
That is hilarious. Yeah.
I know irrational fear of escalators. I don't know, man.
I don't think you're alone though. I think that's kind of a thing. My kids were both scared of them when they were younger. Like that last step, like, oh, I'm going to get sucked into the abyss if I don't hop off at the right time, you know?
Right. So they get it.
That's hilarious. So who dislikes Craig Counsell more right now? Cubs fans or Brewer fans?
I think Brewers fans are kind of enjoying this in a way because, you know, he left and now he's struggling. So Brewers fans are enjoying this. They, you know, they see, you know, I think in general, the vibe is, okay, well, here's a guy who was a Brewer and now he's been disloyal. So at this point, it's not even, I think if the Cubs were doing really well and the Brewers weren't, there would be that animosity, but there isn't because the Brewers are doing better without him and the Cubs are struggling. And I think in Chicago, they see all this money being spent on a guy coming from the Brewers, who they've historically looked down upon as a rival, right? They you know, there's that rivalry aspect to it. So I think Cubs fans are probably more angry, just given that they've performed under expectations. And at the same time, the team that they pulled him from is having a lot of success this year.
That's interesting. And they like Pat Murphy too. I think they got a win there, right? Maybe a blessing in disguise.
I love Pat Murphy.
Yeah.
I love Pat Murphy. His interview, when I have to do the audio, when Mike Clements and I are working on sports audio, man, I love listening to his stuff. Just seeing the way he gets thrown out of a game because he'll mean mug an umpire for 15 seconds before he says a word, you know? Right. I love it, man. I need all of that.
He's fun. Yeah, he's a great personality. Real quick, we got about 30 seconds left. How are you going to celebrate your 4th? What do you got planned for tomorrow?
All right, so Basketball hosts a 4th of July event. There's a parade. I live right on the parade route, right outside my house here.
Oh, nice.
Nobody does it better than Basketball. We've got an hour-long fireworks show at night at dusk. So that is how we spend the 4th here in beautiful Basketball.
Very laid back, very chill. I love it. I'll be doing the same thing myself. Thank you so much, my friend. This was fun as always, and have a safe and happy 4th.
You too, Pete. Thank you.
Okay, buddy. We'll see you. That's Jimmy Cuska Civic Media sports director extraordinaire and a heck of a fan of these. Conrad, did he give you some good suggestions? You like that? You love that genre, right?
I think I need to start watching The Boys.
Yeah, that's something we can discuss because I'm going to stick with it now. And I didn't go away from it last time because I disliked it. I just got distracted. And the superhero thing was kind of a tough sell for me at first, but it's about so much more than that. It is good satire, very well written and acted, and a good show. All right, so we have a great news team here at Civic Media, and you're about to hear from them next. They do a fantastic job, and we will be back with more Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.